Okay, welcome to the Marine Resources Committee meeting for Tuesday, March 9th, 2021. We have a bunch of folks here. We certainly have a quorum. Not that we need it for a couple minutes, because we're going to start with introductions, and I'll call out your name, and then you can introduce yourself. Starting with Representative Stanley, please.
Good morning. Peggy Stanley, I represent District 143, which is Hersheytown Township, Long A Township, Patton, Medway, East Millinocket, and Millinocket.
Thank you. Representative Faulkingham.
Good morning. I am Representative Faulkingham. I represent House District 136 from the coastal towns of Steuben to Hancock. Thank you.
Representative McCray.
Good morning. I'm Jay McCray, representing Harpswell, West Bath, and part of Brunswick in the House.
And thanks. I'm going by the horseshoe pictures, and the black and white person on the list is me, Dave Nearmont, representing Senate District 12, which is Knox County. The county seat's Rockland, and it's all the county except for the town of Washington. And Senator Maxman has Washington, and go ahead.
Hi, I'm Chloe Maxman. I represent Senate District 13, which is all of Lincoln County except for Jesden, plus Washington and Windsor.
Thank you. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Kimberly Rosen, Senate District 8, towns in Hancock County and Penobscot County, including the city of Brewer, and I go from Castine all the way up to Lincoln, and I live in Bucksport.
That's an amazing district. Representative Bloom.
Good morning. I'm Representative Lydia Bloom. I represent House District 3 in York.
Thank you. Representative Hepler.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and everybody. I'm Allison Hepler. I represent House District 53, which includes the towns of Arousic, Georgetown, Pittsburgh, Woolwich, where I live, Dresden, and a part of Richmond.
Thank you. Representative Crafts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Representative Lydia Crafts from House District 90, which includes Damariscotta, Newcastle, Bremen, Bristol, Mohegan, and Louds Islands, and parts of South Bristol and Nobleboro.
Thank you. And Representative Thorne.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Jim Thorne. I represent Carmel, Herman, and a small portion of Etna.
Great. Oh, thanks, and welcome to everybody who could make it. So now I'll open the hearing on LD 332, an act to reevaluate the Frenchboro area dragging exclusion zone. Representative McDonald, the floor is yours. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Maremont, Representative McCray, and distinguished members of the Joint Standing Committee on Marine Resources, I am Genevieve McDonald of Main House District 134, and I am testifying before you today as the sponsor of LD 332, an act to reevaluate the Frenchboro Area Dragging Exclusion Zone. The Frenchboro Cable Area exists to protect the power cable that runs from Swan's Island to Frenchboro and provides electricity to the island. On the map shown, the entirety of the cable area is shaded in red. The dash marks within the red shaded area denote the charted cable area as defined by the United States government. The cable area drawn by the state of Maine for Frenchboro exceeds the size of the cable area charted by the United States government. MRS Title 12, Section 6954 prohibits scallop dragging in cable areas as determined by the United States government. This prohibition will remain in effect regardless of the outcome of this bill or any subsequent rulemaking that may occur as a result. MRS Title 12, Section 6954-A defines the Frenchboro cable area and prohibits dragging for scallops within the cable area. This cable area was expanded due to past incidents of fishermen inadvertently dragging up the cable. With advances in technology, it is now possible to more accurately determine where the cable is located. For this reason, I am requesting the commissioner reevaluate the size and boundaries of the Frenchboro area where dragging and scalloping are prohibited to determine whether the area should be modified. This bill also grants the commissioner the authority to modify the Frenchboro cable area by rule if it is determined that changes should be made. Thank you for your time and consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Representative McDonald. And Representative McCray, could you take over this chairing of the meeting, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative McDonald. Do we have any questions on LD 332? Representative Thorne.
Thank you. That worked very good, Madam Speaker. Thank you. Appreciate that.
I saw
Chair. The zone, if I may, Representative McDonald, is it my estimation that it's a width, a narrowment, and how much is it narrowing by?
So I'll ask, do you have the map in front of you that I accompanied my testimony?
I do not.
So I don't have the square acreage, square mileage. I asked the department for that, and unfortunately those numbers weren't available. But in my testimony that I sent in electronically this morning, there is a map, and you can see that the Frenchboro area drawn by the state is probably 2 to 3 times the charted cable area determined by the US government. So it's quite large in comparison to what is the federal determination.
May I ask a follow-up question, Madam Chair?
Certainly.
So if I understand correctly, what you're saying is with all the technology and GPS guidance and so forth, we can more closely get to that area safely, dragging without worrying about getting caught up in that. Is that my understanding?
Correct. So the power company itself can both GPS map this or GIS map where exactly the cable is located, and fishermen can see that on their electronics now. This wasn't technology that was available in the 80s, which is, I believe, when the Frenchboro cable area, what the size that it is now, was drawn. So technology has changed tremendously since that point that allows us to truly identify where it is on the bottom and no longer create that conflict.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Analyst Caswell, are you thinking to put up the map?
I was going to offer that. Would that be helpful?
Okay with you, Representative McDonald?
That would be. Thank you. I was going to offer as well.
Okay. All right.
Point of order.
Representative Faulkingham?
Are displays permitted in public hearings?
Well, it's attached to the testimony, so I would say yes. Do you, it's different.
Fine with me. I'm just asking.
Yeah, typically, that's a great question, because typically we don't allow posters or big badges or anything like that. But this is a map that explains the testimony. So I feel like it's okay, unless anybody objects. Okay with it, Representative Faulkingham?
It's fine with me. I think it would be good to display. I just didn't want to start a bad precedent is all.
Yeah, let's say that if it's explanatory and relevant to the testimony, it's allowable, but not if it's a cartoon or a t-shirt or something like that. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Lynn.
Are you seeing the?
Yes.
So in this map, if I can explain, if I may, so this entire red shaded area is the entirety of the Frenchboro cable area. And then within it, you can see the charted dash lines. That is the cable area as determined by the US government.
So you're asking to have a narrower area of exclusion.
So I'm asking for it to be reevaluated by the department, by the commissioner. And then if it is determined that a smaller area is permissible, that this gives DMR the authority to make those changes by rule, as opposed to having to come back and do it by statute.
Okay, that's what I meant. I jumped ahead after a study, I guess. Thank you. Representative Hepler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So in fact, actually my question was going to describe this if Lynn couldn't bring it up, but so is the exclusion zone that entire red area that goes from Swan's Island to Frenchboro?
Currently, yes.
Any follow-up, Representative Hepler? No, okay. Representative Faulkingham, did you have a question?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Representative McDonald.
Good morning.
As a commercial scallop dragger and lobster fishermen. I know that we can, within 6 feet, we can navigate our boats with the GPSs that we have on our boats right now. So do you feel that every boat will be outfitted with this and that the cable area will be safe from people dragging across it if it was opened?
So to be honest, I am not a scallop fisherman, so I don't know what you can see for a cable on the bottom. This bill was brought to me by, I believe, the chair of the Scallop Advisory Council. This is something that they've been discussing, and we're told by the department it would have to come to statute first. As I understand it, for this to accurately show up on GPS, it would have to be charted by, I believe it's Versant first. So they would have to provide the GIS coordinates for the cable, which they can do, and then it would be picked up by our GPS.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
Does this bill permit DMR to open the area after the study, or would that have to be a separate bill?
No, this gives the commissioner the authority to make that change through rulemaking.
Yeah.
One more follow-up question?
Sure.
Oh, what happened here?
You're still here.
Oh, can you come back to me because my screen just went off?
Okay, sure. Representative Crafts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative McDonald, for presenting. I'm wondering if you can discuss what the history, if there have been the frequency and intensity of run-ins between the scallop dragging boats and the line, or what led to this area being enforced initially in the 80s?
So I can only speak to that really just anecdotally. I don't know of any experience. This was, 20, 30 years ago. I do believe the department has a testimony and they would be better equipped to speak to that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Falkingham, are you back?
Yes, I'm back now. Okay. Was I off the screen while I was
No, we were watching.
Oh, I was still there?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for that. Okay, Representative McDonald, back to that. So if the study's done and DMR shrinks up the size of the zone, does this bill include any punishments for people that do drag up the cable? Because my thinking is that with the technology we've got, it's going to be more than safe once they mark it out. Because like I said, you can get within 6 feet on the GPSs. The cable area, I assume DMR will make much wider than where the actual cable is, but much smaller than this big area. So with that, is there a punishment included for people that do drag up the cable in that scenario?
No. So there are penalties in Section 6954 for dragging within a chartered cable area if you drag up a cable. But any area that was shaved off this would just go back to being, typical scallop bottom. It wouldn't be part of any sort of prohibited area anymore. And it wouldn't contain the cable.
Great, thanks.
Okay. Then could you take the map down? Thank you. Any other questions for the sponsor of the bill? Seeing none, and seeing no one, no co-sponsors, no other legislators, and no one testifying for the bill. I know the department is testifying on the bill. Could I, either Commissioner Kelleher, or there's Commissioner Kelleher.
Thank you, Representative. We'll be testifying in opposition. I don't know if you want me to hold my testimony or...
No, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Senator Miramont, Representative McCrate, members of the Joint Standing Committee on Marine Resources. My name is Patrick Kelleher, the Commissioner of the Department of Marine Resources. Today, I'll be testifying on behalf of the department in opposition to LD 332. This bill would require the department to reevaluate the boundaries of the Frenchboro cable area, which are currently described in statute, within 90 days of the effective date of the act. Should the department determine any changes are warranted, the department could be excuse me, the department would be authorized to make those changes in regulation. The department is generally supportive of having the flexibility to modify boundaries and regulation. There, however, in this specific circumstance, we do not see much scope for change. The fundamental purpose of closing this area to dragging is to prevent the disturbance of the cable providing power to Frenchboro, Long Island. And given that the scallop dragging occurs in the wintertime, it is especially problematic if illegal activity disrupts electricity to this island community. The current boundary configuration for this area was created and implemented in the 1980s, specifically to address enforceability issues and vulnerability for this remote offshore drag enclosure, which at the time was being frequently poached. Expanding this area of the closure had an irrefutable impact on compliance, as well as Marine Patrol's ability to identify, apprehend, and prosecute violators of this prohibition. For this reason, the department would not support any changes to the boundary of this area. While frustrating for some fishermen, we believe that there is also potential benefit to the scallop resource by having an area that may not be dragged, creating a population that continually seed the outside area. Thank you for your consideration. I'll be happy to answer any questions that the committee might have.
Lydia, I'm sorry, Representative Bloom, a question for the commissioner.
Yes. Good morning, Commissioner. Does the current statute that created this boundary, does it allow for other considerations other than the protection of the cable, such as that you just mentioned? Because it seems you have other considerations aside from the protection of the cable. Does the statute allow you to make those decisions as well?
It's not specific in the statute, Representative, but it would fall to my general authorities for protection and sustainability of the resource. So I think it's, while it's silent, I still would be able to take those other considerations into account making any decisions.
So in follow up, so that means that even if you were to reevaluate it, you would still have this buffer zone, if that's a fair term to make with what your decision making, this buffer zone, right?
Yeah, I think for this one particular cable has got a lot of history. Starting in the 80s, when this was debated at the legislature, I was a young lobbyist working on a lot of different issues at the time, and I remember sitting in committee for hours listening to this being debated to try to figure out how they could create some additional protections, because this cable was dragged many different times and disrupted the power to this particular community. It's been said several times about the technology associated with this, but if you refer to Versant Power's testimony, you will see that there would be a potential cost associated with them going out marking this particular cable, and that cost would then likely be passed on to the ratepayer. So I think that is in particular something the committee needs to consider, and it's something that frankly it leaves me a little bit uncomfortable that I'm going to be making a decision that has potential impacts to ratepayers when we have something in place that works fine. It still allows limited harvesting, hand harvesting within the cable area by diving, as other cable areas do, and has that side benefit of creating a protection to ensure that any scallops in that area that are not harvested are allowed to spawn and seed the other areas.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Faulkingham.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning, Representative.
Isn't this area just really way too big for a cable area?
I would say normally yes, but because of the history here that I don't think should be lost, we would want to make sure that anything that's happening in this area is done so with the protection of the island community in mind, not just access for a handful of scallop draggers. There's a tremendous amount of area around this around the area that has very good viable scallop beds. And this is just a small fraction of the overall area that people can harvest when it's open from a rotational standpoint.
Follow-up question?
Sure.
Commissioner, I understand that it's probably still burned in those people's memories, all the power outages that they had back in the 80s when draggers were going across that, but at that time they didn't have the GPSs that we have now, and probably they really didn't care, because there was just massive poaching going on. But my question is, isn't this area more of a seemingly sanctuary for divers than protecting a cable area, given the size of it, especially, you know, to the north? There's literally islands and ledges that are in, you know, blocking the cable, that the cable's on the other side of, that could be easily used for that. So I guess I know I have to ask you a question, but wouldn't it be reasonable to make it an area that the draggers could come into, so that this wasn't quite so much of a diver sanctuary? Either that, or if it's a seed area, as you say, then maybe divers shouldn't be permitted to fish it either.
Yeah, I think the difference becomes catching all the scallops versus hand picking, but we don't look at it as a diver sanctuary at all. Divers have are limited to where they can actually harvest based on the depth that they can dive versus a drag. So I'm not sure I would consider it necessarily a fair comparison, Representative. For me, it still becomes understanding what the history is and understanding what the cost associated with marking that cable would be. Is there going to be an adverse impact to the island community? That's not something I have authority to really take into account, but I think it's something that should be considered as part of this conversation.
Can I have one last follow-up question?
Sure.
Very last question. Commissioner, I know that since the new program, I guess I'll say, that we've been doing since, I don't know how long it's been, the limited access, the rotational.
Yeah, 8 years.
It's probably been eight or 9 years. But yeah. Since that has started, we've had these limited access areas with very defined points. I know I fish in like Goulsboro Bay, and it's from a certain point on Point Francis to a certain point on, you know, the Steuben side. And when those areas are closed, nobody crosses those areas, because that would be fishing in a closed area or closed season. Wouldn't the same restrictions apply? And what is the punishment for someone that does fish in a closed area, say that they were caught fishing in the cable area?
Yeah, usually anybody who has been caught in closed, you know, every situation is different, right? So if somebody was just caught dragging along the edge, officer goes on, has the conversation, it's determined, yes, they were intentionally dragging just inside that line, or if they were caught way inside that line, then that violation would be elevated up through the chain of command of my office, very likely for a suspension. That suspension, depending on how many violations this individual may have had in the past, is normally a 1-year suspension. And then I would then go through the whole process, length of suspension conversation, to determine whether a 1-year suspension is should be maintained or whether it should be reduced. But most of the time, we look at taking somebody, if they fished in a closed area, we look at taking that individual out of the scallop fishery for at least a 1-year period. So they miss, it may not be a 1-year suspension, but they miss a full season, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, Representative Crafts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Commissioner. I had asked previously about the frequency and intensity of disruptions in the past, and I wonder if there's any data that you have, or if that would be something Versant would be able to provide.
Versant may have some information on outages associated with impacts to the cable. I certainly can go back, have conversations with Marine Patrol. I could reach out to a few of the retired officers, actually, that would have a lot of experience with this particular cable. And we'd be happy to provide any of that information for the work session.
Great. And may I ask a follow-up?
Sure.
Yeah, and I was just going to follow up around the history that you alluded to in the legislative conversations back in the 80s, and where we might find some of that information or some of the concerns.
Yeah, likely I think the history would be kept, I believe it's kept in the law library, and it's not something we looked up. I'm not sure if that's something that that the analyst can find for you or not. When I know when I look and it goes back that far, sometimes it's difficult to find.
I see Lynn nodding her head.
And may I ask another follow-up?
Sure.
Are there other areas around the state, Commissioner, that have this large of a discrepancy between state and federal cable zones?
No, there's not. I mean, all of the other cable areas are closed based on how they are designated on a navigation chart. I think Representative McDonald pointed that out. This one in particular, because of the history, was expanded well beyond that normal width. And this is the only one in statute.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Senator Miramont.
Okay, how's the microphone?
Good.
All right, and I can see hands now, so I'm back to full use of the computer, and I'm looking at the chart and trying from the scale of it to see how much beyond the cable this adds to a restriction, and it appears to me about a half a mile. Is that on either side of the quarter that would be in place anyway? It just an additional half mile actually on the north and a little less than on the south. Is that correct? Can you tell?
I do not have a navigation chart in front of me, but based on the size of the island and having been around there, I would say it's probably at least a half a mile, maybe a tad bit bigger. Representative McDonald may have spent more time looking at that chart though than I have. I have a really hard time guessing based on the screenshot that I saw earlier. Right. We will be happy to provide it for the work session though.
Well, that's okay. When I go through there, it looked from through that there, it seemed big. I'm trying to guess at so many errors before that an additional half doesn't seem reasonable, but Representative McDonald had that, it'd be great.
So I requested those numbers from the department and they were not available. So I hope that the department can provide it at the work session.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Hepler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So Representative McDonald mentioned that this came from the Shellfish Advisory Commission. So I guess my question is, when have they discussed this bill, and how recently have they talked about this?
Ooh. I'm not 100% sure. I can't remember the last time this was brought up by, it's actually the Scallop Advisory Council or Committee representative, and it comes up sporadically in conversations there, but I'm not sure. They certainly have not met in time to take a position on this particular bill.
All set, Representative? Representative Bloom.
Thank you. Commissioner, it seems like I'm understanding that the buffer zone is really doesn't have to do with the cable so much as it has to do with your knowledge of the area, the history, and you have every, even if you did reevaluate, you could still create the same buffer zone because of all these other reasons that you have a right to use as the commissioner. Is that correct?
That's correct, Representative.
Yeah. So I think that makes sense to me, that if it costs money to do all of this, and then we just end up with the same zone because of other reasons, that it may be a futile exercise is what I'm sort of.
Yeah. So yeah, Representative, I mean, I appreciate that. I think what I would, the reason we ended up in opposition, when staff came to me, they came to me with a position of for nor against. But when I reviewed the information, looked at the area, I said, well, if we're going to go through a process by which I would make a determination that there's no change, I would rather just oppose the bill and save on the workload. If there is really interest associated with potentially looking at narrowing this, I think one of the things we could consider is bringing potentially a new, I could work with patrol to bring a new line to the committee if they wanted to make a small narrowing that still allows for really a good protection of this without having to worry about any additional cost being passed on to the ratepayers in the future. So if that is something that the committee would like me to consider, I'd be certainly more than willing to do that.
Oh, you're muted, Representative.
Excuse me, thank you for the follow-up. That would follow then with the bill, because the bill requests you just to look at it.
Correct.
It doesn't say exactly how you should be looking at it.
Correct.
Right. So you could use a less expensive form of reassessment, so to speak, and come up with an answer that way.
Yeah.
And I think so the bill could be amended to do that, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I certainly would think so. And I think it may take into consideration both the points that Representative McDonald and Representative Falkingham brought up about trying to create some additional access, but still leave us the flexibility without worrying about, I mean, to Representative Falkingham's point, right? I mean, technology from the 80s to now is drastically different, but it's still leaving enough buffer that it does not have to be marked, geomarked by the company may be beneficial here. Maybe we can kill two birds with one stone here as I'm thinking about it.
Great, thank you.
Okay, Representative Thorne.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm not sure who may be better suited to answer this, perhaps Representative McDonald. I'm just trying to understand how many scallop draggers and or I assume lobster fishermen as well to use this area are would be effective. I mean, if it opened up, would it be, you know, would it look like a shark fishing adventure on Amityville Island? Or
there is, to answer your question, there is no prohibition for lobster fishing in cable areas determined by either the U.S. government or the state of Maine. So that fishery isn't being taken in consideration with this legislation. The commissioner could speak better than I can about the potential for scallop boats to use this area. The scallop fleet is mobile. They can travel around the state depending on where they want to go. I don't know if we have can really provide a number, Commissioner?
Well, I certainly can provide a number of, for the work session, I can provide a number of scallop dragging licenses that are issued, and we may be able to, based on reporting, give you an idea of how many are latent and how many are active. But I think the key point is that this is for the mobile, this dragging prohibition is for the mobile gear fleet, urchins and scallops, and not for the fixed gear fleet, which is lobster gear.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the commissioner? Seeing none, thank you, Commissioner. And Representative McDonald, are you set?
I guess I would just like to make one comment, is that I wish Versant was here to testify as opposed to just submitting a written testimony, because I am curious about what I think, as the commissioner said, there are ways to do this that does not require the power company to mark with GIS. But I am curious what that cost would be, because it's also my, it is my opinion, frankly, that all the cables in the state of Maine by this era should be GIS maps. That's not part of this bill, but I am curious what the cost to do that would be, and maybe a key to a future piece of legislation.
Okay, are you requesting that for the work session, that we reach out to them and invite them to be here?
Yes, please. I am just curious what that cost might be.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. And Representative Faulkingham.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative McDonald, just one last question. With what the commissioner said and the geo marking with Versant, what would you be willing to amend the bill to, rather than do a study, rather than do the geomarking, to just pick some safe points that we know that would definitely keep the cable area clear, and but would narrow the area down? Would you be willing to just change the bill so that we could make a smaller area that would keep the cable area safe, rather than go through all of the geomarking and
so this study. Bill doesn't direct anybody to do any geomarking as written. It doesn't say how the commissioner should evaluate it or what technology should be used. It just asks for a reevaluation of the area. So our analysts can confirm, but I don't think you'd, I'm agreeable to that, and I don't think you'd have to amend the language of the bill to do that.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
All set, Representative Faulkingham? Okay.
Yes, thanks.
Any other questions? Seeing none, and I don't see any. Senator Miramont.
Well, that was my question. I thought we had someone signed up for testimony, but you're looking and don't see it.
I don't see it. Checking with the clerk, Linda?
Yes, no, the only two I had for testimony was Representative McDonald and the commissioner.
Okay, thank you. Representative Hepler?
But there was testimony, so there is written testimony submitted by James Cody on behalf of Versant.
Yeah, exactly.
So it would be, yeah, I agree. I think it would be great to have some either numbers or somebody at the work session.
Okay, and I see our analyst nodding her head. You can follow up on that for us. Thank you. Okay. All right, seeing no further questions and no one else here to testify, I declare this public hearing closed, and we'll schedule a work session in a week or so. Thank you. Back to you, Senator Miramont.